Alalu is a prince on planet Nibiru. They had formulated their planet into a one world order by having wars. One nation would war and conquer another nation and then conquer another nation and so on and so forth until you see that it's one nation for the entire southern hemisphere of their planet. And the North did the exact same thing. One would become a superpower by conquering all the other nations until finally you've got a superpower of the North, just one nation, and a one nation superpower in the South. In these wars, there was some serious damage done to their planet. Their atmosphere is starting to escape through a hole that was blasted by these wars. Using nuclear weapons, they damaged their atmosphere. And their protective layers that hold in the atmosphere, they're slowly losing that atmosphere, which they're slowly becoming a dead planet. Something's got to be done. So according to Zachariah Sitchin in his books, he talks of a text, a Canaanite text, that refers to kingship on planet Nibiru, where they come from. And planet Nibiru went through these wars and damaged their planet. And you now have a one world order under one king. You probably remember Bush Sr. would talk over and over about a new world order. What he's talking about is doing on Earth the exact same thing that they did in Nibiru. Only he wanted a group of elitists to be making all the decisions for planet Earth. I mean, this was President Bush Sr. idea of bringing everything. It's much easier to govern this way when everything's under one governing body instead of all the different factions, all the different nations competing against each other. They find it much easier, so they use the one world king. On Earth, America, especially America, with its love of independence, doesn't fit this idea of Bush Sr. and its one world order. But that didn't stop him from he and the global elitists forming their Masonic groups and scheming to put all the governorship in one hand, small group's hands. Originally, it was thought to be done under the UN, and now they're going to just do it secretly until they can accomplish their mission and then bring it out through a new governing method to be enforced, perhaps, by the UN. Who knows? They definitely have the plan schemed out. Well, it was accomplished on their planet. And king after king knows of the problem with the atmosphere, but is not doing anything about it. Their scientists see that the best way to solve this problem would be to use gold and process that gold down into some type of a flake and then fill the hole with the gold flake or powder or whatever it is that they refine it down to. And that patches the hole, fixes the problem, the atmosphere stays. That makes somebody a hero. But no king can find the gold. There's no outer planets in this solar system that has gold. They did see it on the asteroid belt. They tried to mine some there, but they all got killed. So they called the inner planets. They were in the forbidden zone. It was forbidden to travel there because it's too dangerous going through the asteroid belt. It's deadly to them. So what do they do? King after king really does nothing until you get a king who finally says, we'll pray on the matter. And that just wasn't getting the job done as their planet is slowly dying. That really frustrated the princes of the planet. And one prince stands up, Alalu, and says something must be done. So he decides to kill the king who is worthless to them and overthrow, usurp his power, place himself as the new king, and he would go find some gold. He would do something about it, whatever that is. And so he presents himself to their, you might call it their Congress. He presents himself as the new king, and that he'll be the savior of the planet. Well, at this time, another prince presents himself, Prince Anu, and he challenges Alalu's claim. He says, hold it. I am a direct descendant of their first king, and therefore I claim to be the new king. Since the dead king had no heirs, they had to go to whoever was of the royal family and had the closest relationship to the first king. Kingship was passed down through bloodlines. And the bloodline was kept pure by a custom and a law that they put together called the Law of Succession. And what that is the king would take for his official wife his sister. Or if there was no sister, he would take his half-sister, born of the king in a concubine. And if there was no half-sister, then he would take his first cousin. So using that method, any firstborn son would be the heir to the throne. And that son would be born of the double seed, meaning his bloodline is the same as his mother's bloodline, and therefore the child is born of the double seed. So the first son born under that method would become the heir to the king. Well, when that line was broken because the dead king had no sons through that method, that's where Alalu jumps in, and Anu challenges him. the Congress, you might say, hears the cases on both of them and decides that Anu has the better claim and that Alalu is wanted for murder, his attempted coup in killing the king. Well, Alalu now is in big trouble. So he quickly gets in his spacecraft, his saucer, and he and his pilot, they take off, and they gotta find a place to hide. So he decides to go to the Forbidden Zone. And as they approach the asteroid belt, Alalu uses one of his 8 missiles, nuclear missiles that are on board. He uses one of them and blasts a hole that he could travel through that asteroid belt. So that's what he does. He blasts a hole, he waits for things to settle, and then he goes right through it. He lands on Mars. Nothing there, no gold. Next, he comes to Earth. He lands at the northern part of the Persian Gulf, where today you would call that southern Iraq. So there he's on shore. He discovers that there's food that's growing on trees. There's ocean water, lots of it. There's running sweet water in the rivers, the streams, you know, and that's perfect for drinking. The air is good. It's definitely survivable for them. And the soil is good. So there's gold there, and there's a way to exist while they get the gold. This is too simple, and it's too perfect. So he devises a scheme. And when he's got it all figured out, he thinks, he radios back to Nibiru and tells King Anu, the new king, that he has discovered gold on the second inner planet of the Forbidden Zone, and that he has saved Nibiru. He is the hero of the planet, and because he has saved Nibiru, he should be the new king. So again, he's challenging for the kingship of Nibiru. King Anu listens to all these phenomenal claims, says this is too good to be true. He needs to be verified. So he takes his eldest son, who is the wisest, and he sends him down to Earth to see if what Alalu claims is true. So Enki, in his saucer, he comes to the asteroid belt looking for a way through, and he decides to use a water cannon to push asteroids aside to where he can fly through it. And as he does, he sees that Mars is there, and it's not going to be the place to establish mining for gold. There isn't any. He goes to the next planet, lands in the northern shores of the Persian Gulf, dons the fish's suit, and comes to shore where Alalu is there to greet him. And you'll see artifacts there in the slideshow of Inky and his pilot, Abgal, coming to Earth. Inky is in his fishy suit, which today we would call a wetsuit. That at the time they draw it as a fishy suit. And he swims to shore, is greeted by Lalu, looks around, sees the fruit growing on the trees, sees the ocean water, which has gold traces, but way too little to amount to anything. Sees that there's sweet water for drinking. The soil is good for planting vegetables. There are certain animals around that maybe they could feed off. It seems to be pretty damn good. So he also sees the gold that is lying on the surface, easy to gather. And then once that's done, they're going to have to start mining for gold. So he radios back to his father, the king, and says, "Hey, Dad, it's real. Lalu's telling the truth. Everything we need is here. And the planet is able to hold our needs. I mean, everything we need is there. We can live on that planet. We can mine on that planet. We can breathe the air. We can drink the water. We can eat the food that it provides. Although we will need some seeds, and it'd be nice if we had some sheep, which, you know, they like to eat sheep. Anu decides, well, we've got to send Inky everything that is needed to establish a foothold on the planet, which later turns into a colony, but they establish a foothold so they could be self-subsistent with farming, with clothes manufacturing, and building homes and whatever is needed for a long-term existence on planet Earth while they mine the gold. Now, the idea was, as Anu puts it together with Inky, what they would do is they would mine the gold, ship the gold up to the land between the rivers, the Eden, the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. And there was an ancient river on one side of the Euphrates and an ancient river on the other side of the Tigris. So there were four rivers there that flowed into the Persian Gulf. So between the four rivers is a fertile place. This fertile land became the garden where they would establish farming raise the crops and the animals that they would use for food. So the food supply would be gathered, produced and gathered there on the land between the rivers, while the gold would be mined wherever they can find it. And it seemed as though there was a ton of it in the southern part of Africa. So in South Africa, mining began while between the rivers, the colony was established. And through time, as they brought down mining equipment and whatever they needed to establish farming and digging the canals for irrigation of the farms, and whatever they needed to sew cloth, make cloth, sew cloth, you know, and so forth, that for self-existence. And in doing so, because it's difficult to travel between Earth and Nibiru, when Nibiru's orbit is way out into space. But when Nibiru is bent and it comes back as it orbits the sun, as it comes back towards the other planets, and then passes straight through our solar system on the outside of Mars, on the outside of the asteroid belt. This orbit, this elongated orbit, takes about 3,600 of our years for them to come close enough to where they can dump the gold off on their planet and begin to fix the hole. So Anu and Enki put together the idea that there would be the garden and whatever is needed to maintain the colony. There would be the mining, and what they would do is send the mined gold up to the Eden, where they would smelt it and to pure gold, eliminating the waste that weighs too much, get rid of all of that, bringing it down to a refined and pure golden state. Then they would ship that gold, once they had enough, they would be shipped to Mars. And there they would establish an existence on Mars for 300, who would be doing the shipping and the establishment of Mars. So they'd build warehouses there and, you know, whatever they needed to be a way station for Earth to Mars. And then when Nibiru comes by, once every 3,600 years, they would dump that gold, ship it a short distance to Nibiru. And then Nibiru would take it and do what they need to get it into the layers that protect the atmosphere. So, sounds good. Anu sends more of his family members, including his heir, who is Enlil, down to Earth. With them comes seeds, comes sheep, and mining equipment, the things to get it started. And getting started is needed right away. So here comes their supplies, as Nibiru is close enough to drop them off. They would fly from Nibiru to Mars, and then Mars to Earth. And the gold would go from Earth to Mars, and then Mars to Nibiru. The way station sitting there on Mars, which is somewhat close to Earth, and the closest to Nibiru when it crosses through. And if you go to Nibiru's page, you'll see a symbol of Nibiru is a cross, a plus sign. Not the Jesus cross, it's a plus sign for the planet that crosses through. You would see this system set up by Anu and Enki, and down comes Enlil and some other descendants of Anu, a couple females, all males, workers, And Enlil would be in charge, his heir to the throne. Enlil would be in charge of Earth's colony, and he would take 300, and they would establish the land between the rivers, get all the self-subsistence going. While Enki would take 300, and they would gather the gold, which meant they would be doing, eventually they would be doing mining, a very tough job. Of course, it's tough digging the canals and doing all of the things required to run a farm and run a textile industry and so on and so forth. So anyway, Enki's group is mining, and the years would go by. They're mining and mining and mining. And Enlil is developing and developing, and in those developments would come housing. And large ziggurats would be built for the royal descendants of the king. So Enki would have a house, a ziggurat, and these would be on the rivers Euphrates mostly, and later along the Tigris. And anyway, about every 50 miles going up the river, you would see another ziggurat for another royal member of the family of Anu. All this is set up. Alalu is claiming the throne. So Anu comes down to see just how good this really is, and to get a system set up that I just described. While Anu is on Earth, Alalu keeps claiming his right to the throne. This is upsetting Anu to no end. So he keeps getting in the way. So Anu, it is finally agreed upon that they would wrestle for kingship. Whoever the winner is would take over the kingship of planet Nibiru and run the colony as well, oversee it. It would be run by Enlil. So they have a wrestling match, which you see artifacts of that. So you're looking at artifacts of when Enki arrives and artifacts of Anu and Alalu wrestling, winner take all. So this wrestle, bodies are slammed, and it goes on and on until Alalu, who isn't conquering Anu quick enough, and it could be at risk of losing, you see him there on one artifact where he's reaching for Anu's balls. What he does is he bites off Anu's manhood, his balls. No more descendants of Anu, and claims that he won and he's the king. Well, Anu has a serious injury. His son Enlil becomes just outraged as can be. And the guys on Earth start demanding Alalu be executed. And so Anu needs to get back to their planet, get some medical attention, and see what they can do to save him. Well, Alalu is being executed. Once executed, what to do with his body? Enlil decides, get it off of Earth. We don't want any more problems from him. So he tells Alalu's pilot, Anzu, take him to Mars and bury him there. So what he does is he takes the body, builds a tomb in the form of Alalu's face. And Alalu is buried inside that tomb. So there's this face of Alalu that is always staring at Earth. He considered that poetic justice, and that's what he did. As we orbit the moon and take photographs, we have a photograph of that face. It's famously called the face on Mars. Anyway, with Alalu out of the way, colonization begins, and it goes just like I said the plan was. Inky and 300, and in the Mayans, and Enlil and 300, and Eden, and Anu running Nibiru and overseeing the colony called Earth Colony. So thousands of years go by. The gold is coming in. The hole is being plugged. People back on Nibiru are starting to relax. Enlil's doing a great job. Inky and his group are just, their backs are broken. That's way too much work in the mines. Thousands of years. They protest like crazy and demand that Anu, that Enlil, demand replacements from Anu, the king. Well, Enlil denies that. Says there are no replacements. Keep mining. We'll keep the colony going and smelting the gold, and Anu will continue to save the planet as he governs. Well, this didn't go well for the 300 workers under Inky, to where eventually they say to Enlil, okay, let's switch after so much time, since there are no replacements, you become the replacement. You and your group come down here, and Inky's group will go up to the Eden, and we'll keep rotating back and forth over a certain allotted amounts of time. We'll swap and keep swapping. That didn't go well with Enlil, so he denies that. So what you've got is basically a strike and a damn near revolution against Enlil. They march on his home, his ziggurat, and Enlil is confused and frightened and goes, we've got to find a solution to this. So he calls upon his father, who is Inky's father as well, the king, to come down and settle this problem. So Anu came down. And he settled the problem by simply drawing straws. And the long straw would be the king, acting king on Nibiru. He would go to Nibiru and maintain the governing. And the medium straw would go to the Garden of Eden, and keep the colony developing. And the short straw got stuck with the mining. Inky and Enlil agree to it. So Anu sets the straws, breaks them into specified lengths, and fixes the situation to where the outcome is in his favor. So Anu draws the long straw and he goes back to Nibiru. Enlil draws the medium straw. He goes back to the Eden. And Enki with the short straw is stuck back in the mines. This is not acceptable. And that's when Enki decides to develop his own workers by doing experiments on anything, life form that he can find. Just create a worker, some type of substitute for his people. And so that process began on Earth. Alalu is now gone. Anu is established undeniably, unchallenged as the king. And there is a solution to the problem, and it'll be solved by King Anu's descendants. So the sons of God, the king, came down to earth and began the work.